Do you have a clue? This is what the Lord asks me most of the time. So I'm pointing fingers at me, but I'm asking you, do you have a clue how much the Lord loves you? Loves you with a personal, perfect, intimate love, with the kind of love that knows what your needs are, that knows where you are, knows the depth of your mountaintops and your despairs, knows the fullness of every hair on your head, every cell in your body. And we say, but Lord, these cells aren't working so well. You know, they're bigger than you want them to be, or they're, you know, cells that are not holy or healthy. They're cells that are cancerous. They are cells that are broken or torn. I know. Get a clue. I love you. You wouldn't guess what I'm going to talk about this morning. It's like I have a roadmap every year around Christmas time and Advent. We've got four themes. But the four themes really do pan out as we hear the scriptures this morning just play out a picture that is ours. It's not a picture that is just for back then, and it's not a picture that will be fulfilled one day. But it's for right here, right now. The Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It can slice the finest thing. It's greater than the Ginsu knife, right? It cuts, dices, slices, makes Julian believers. We, like the Old Testament prophets and people of God, we want to see the power of the Lord. The chapter before the chapter we read this morning was a chapter that, you know, talks again and again. Isaiah is trying to help the people of Israel to see where they are with the Lord. And here Ahaz, the Lord spoke to Ahaz and said, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as hell or as high as heaven. But Ahaz was just like, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test. This is a trick, right? It's like when your wife says, do I look good in this? This is a trick, right? Because sometimes no answer will be the right answer. And the Lord went on to say, hear then, O house of David, it is too little for you to weary men that you weary God also. But I will show you a sign, and this will be the sign. Wait for it. You don't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know how much the Lord loved them, that they weren't looking for the right thing. They were looking for political dominion. They were looking for economic success. They were looking for the fruitfulness that had been promised to them in a land flowing with milk and honey. Behold, a virgin will conceive. He'll be called Emmanuel. God won't be distant from you. God will take up residence with you. We want to see, don't you? Don't you want to see the presence, the fullness, the power, the greatness of God in our midst? Yes. I know you want to see it. You don't have to answer me. It's okay. We want to see that he's with us. But sometimes he lets us get to the place where we have to see his fullness, not just peace. He teaches us lessons along the way and in the quietness. This has been a weird season. I don't know if you feel the weirdness, but I've been feeling the weirdness of the corporate sense of what God is doing. And he's saying, wait for it, but I can feel the weariness that is in our culture right now. I can feel the, Lord, not another day slugging through. I feel the weight of it. And the oppression is not God's. It's the world, it's the flesh, it's the devil, and it's all pressing in, trying to convince you of an old tape that isn't true anymore. And we have to stand up and take authority over our own homes. We have to take authority over our own bodies. We have to take authority over our own habits. Because truthfully, it's our fleshly life that is causing us to be in this place. And our lives will break down, and our relationships are in trouble, and our habits are not very good. And, you know, go on and on and on. You could talk about all of the things that you know that you could do better. And God's saying, what's keeping you? Trust me, and I'll help you take one step in front of the other. We want to see that something's coming, that something's going to change this world that we live in, that love is coming. We want to see and understand that we have been set aside for something bigger than this. The system is broken. Can anybody say that this is the perfect system? That we live in a perfect society, that utopia has arrived, that we are in heaven. We want more. And we want to see it. We want to see that it's coming. We want to see that we've been set aside for something more. And yet, we're not willing to wait for the surprise sometimes. I think that's what the scriptures sort of lay out for us. The psalmist today says to us, love is coming. The king is coming. Who is this king of glory? It's right out in front of the Coley's house, unless you've missed it. If you drive by their house, they have a giant sign that says, Jesus! I love it. The reason for the season, right? Jesus is coming. He's the one who can ascend the holy hill of the Lord. He's the only one pure enough to enter into his holy of holies. He is the spotless lamb. Oh, and he is the one who would be slain on our behalf. Why? Because he loves you. His love goes beyond all things. So lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up your heads and look and see. He's the one who's received the blessing, the honor, the glory, the dominion. He will be called Prince of Peace. So Paul, who's been set aside as an apostle for the gospel of God, the good news, which was promised before he even existed. Paul says to the Romans in chapter 1 that he's received the grace of apostleship. Now, how's that come about? What made Paul an apostle? Guys were asking in men's group yesterday, are there still apostles today? I believe there are apostles today. They've been set aside and anointed and appointed as leaders of leaders. Some of us would call them bishops. Some would call them popes or cardinals, or all sorts of different names have been given. Some don't even have titles, but they have an anointing. They have an appointing. They have been set aside to be able to lead others. To all who are in robe and are loved by God, called to be the saints, grace and peace to you, Paul says as he begins this letter, because that peace and grace can only come from Jesus Christ. The only way for us to get over this pile of should. I should do this, 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 I should, I should, I should, I should. I should be 100 pounds lighter, Lord. Why isn't it happening? Well, you should get on with a diet. Whatever the case might be, you apply it to yourself. Please don't apply it to me. I don't want any suggestions. I got plenty of them. We all find ourselves in the oppression of what the enemy wants to do to tear us down, but the Lord wants to build us up. The Lord wants to give us the strength to overcome the things that limit us, so that our bodies, our minds, our lives, our hearts, anything is not a limit to us. And even in that, if he takes us home, we're always his, right now and forevermore. There's no fear, no worry, no doubt, no shame, no tears, we're told in Revelation. But his plans will surprise us. Let me tell you, dear one, you're 14. And the Holy Spirit's come upon you and you're pregnant. Talk about a home alone moment. I mean, she had to be nonplussed, but because it was the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord was upon her, she couldn't doubt it for a moment because there was no way to doubt this revelation that she had. How do you tell people without them thinking you're crazy? How do you tell people without them thinking, oh yeah, you and Joseph, you snuck off. I know you did. For fear of what was to happen, Joseph had the same revelation. Found out. What would you do? Joseph, wanting to be an honorable guy, was going to divorce her quietly, right? In his flesh, he thought, well, that's the right thing to do in this culture. Let's not shame her any more than she's going to be shamed by the world around her. Because the truth is the truth. You can't deny that there'll be a bun in the oven and everybody will see it very soon, right? Sorry for the phraseology. It'll be a surprise. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And Joseph woke up from sleep. He did as the angel told him. He took a wife, his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to her son. And he called him Jesus. The truth be known is if we're willing, the words this morning were just right on par. You know, even the big toe. Because Lord, the Lord in our midst wants to do something. He wants there to be a testimony to his power. I want to hear Jim say, my toe is healed. Don't say it just because you want to say it, Jim, wherever you are. There he is. I want to know that the Lord has really moved so that we can have encouragement in the body, right? We want to know that his presence is here. And then when he tells us something, that he's going to do something that nobody in the world is going to believe, we need to trust for him to unfold it so that everyone will believe. Today, we focus on love, and we know how crazy God is about us, and we know that we are supposed to emulate, to reflect that love. A newspaper columnist, and he was also a minister, his name was George Crane, tells of a wife who came into his office full of hatred toward her husband. I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he's hurt me. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. Go home. Act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be kind, considerate, generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe that you love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell him that you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, beautiful, beautiful. Will he ever be surprised? She did it with enthusiasm, acting as if for 2 months that she showed love, kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, sharing. She didn't return, and Crane called her. Are you ready now to go through with the divorce? Divorce, she exclaimed. Never! I discovered that I really do love him. Her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not only so by fervent promise, the ability to love is established not so much by fervent promise as often its repeated deeds. You've heard this 1,000 times. Actions speak louder than words, right? But we need help. This is really hard to take action against the reaction that the devil has put against us, that the world has put against us, that our brothers and sisters have put against us. We are constantly judged, constantly micromanaged, constantly oppressed by all sorts of things that know what's best for us, right? And the Lord alone knows what's best for us and how we can get there. And we've got to turn to him. And yet, he might surprise us. He might surprise us with a plan that we weren't planning on. He might surprise us with a joy that succumbs the little bit of joy you wanted to get over what it is that you were targeting. Because he's got more for you. One day we were in Connecticut and we had gotten to the place where we were shaking our heads. And I said to Kristen, I said, it's time for us to move on from St. Paul's. We love it here, but we got to make more money. We're not going to make it. We've got two kids with orthodontics and one on the way. We had a car that was breaking down and we needed a new car. And this house was way too small to adopt a child. We had a foster child living with us. We're like, this just can't happen. I don't know what's going to go on. And we put it before the Lord, and I tell you, I was at a point of desperation. It wasn't, there were months and months and months leading up to this. Lots of angst and anxiety. But it took me that final point to get to the Lord and go, Lord, what's your solution? I could have asked that 6 months earlier, right? And in that desperation, I just waited. It wasn't anything. A week and a half later, somebody came up to me in church and said, wondering if you would be embarrassed if my husband and I went to the vestry and asked if we could put an addition on your home. It was on the church property. It wasn't my house. Sure. This couple dropped $500,000 on completely gutting and remodeling our house. It was gorgeous. Enough space for more than four kids. Bedrooms for each of them. Space for incredible gathering space. A porch that was like we talk about the rector's deck, right? It was amazing. It was beautiful. A family member that same week had a windfall and said, I sent you a check. You should be getting it soon. I thought you could use it. I don't know why. It was enough to pay off orthodontics at that point. A week later, one of my parishioners who was in Wall Street said, I don't know how to ask you this, and I don't want to get personal or tell you what to do, but I just want to give you a big gift, and I'm going to ask the vestry if it's okay if we give this to you because I noticed you needed a new car. Bam. The ability to buy a new car. God surprises us out of the blue. I wasn't manipulating it. I wasn't asking for it. I wasn't looking for it. God just shows up. And he meets our needs. And then sometimes it seems like he doesn't show up because we have to realize the surprise is he wants to meet other needs in the silence. He wants us to be so focused on him that he's not saying, Dan, 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 Dan. That was so good this morning. Really was, Carol. Because the Lord's trying to get our attention every day. Dan, 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 do you know how much I love you? It's not the stuff you need to worry about. Let's get us straight. And when you get us straight, you're listening to me, and I will guide you and lead you into things so much greater than cars and houses and orthodontics. But I even know how to provide for that. God is so good. So in the effort to be cheesy, because I'm so good at being cheesy, I'm just going to give you some suggestions. 25 suggestions, ways to say I love you. Because the reality is if we get right with saying God loves us and we know how much he loves us, then let's do something about it, right? Let's do something about it for others. So 21 inexpensive ways to tell the love of your life or people around you how much you care. Make a homemade card with a picture of the two of you or a picture of a group of you if it's a group. Get ideas for a verse by spending a few minutes browsing through a card shop or just put the words that are written from your heart. Second, write a poem. It doesn't have to rhyme. It just has to be you. Third, Send a love letter listing the reasons why you love this person so much. Now, I'm not talking simply just about writing this to your spouse, but I was watching, Gandalf. Who's the actor that plays Gandalf? Ian McKellen. And he was on an interview, and he was saying, you know what? I was headed home to my childhood home. And I went from a plane, and I got into a cab, and I took the cab to thus and such city, and then I got in another cab, and I took it to my hometown, and I got in the cab, and the cabbie says to me, where do you go in love? He goes, where on earth does a grown man say to another grown man, where are you going, love? He goes, if the world would just take the time to treat each other the way we should, and I will insert the way the Lord wants us, we greet others with, where are you going, love? And say that to our friends as well. So poems and rhymes and letters of the reasons why we love each other doesn't just happen to go to our spouse, but can go to our best friends. Fourth, pledge your love for a lifetime. Write it in calligraphy. Design it on your desktop. Print it out on parchment. Do whatever it takes to frame it so she knows, he knows, they know that you are with them. Plan a surprise lunch, complete with a picnic basket and special things inside. Bake a giant cookie and write, I love you, on it with a heart-shaped red dots frosting. Don't worry about the calories. It's not for eating. It's just for the message. Make a coupon book. Kidnap the car and take it for a washing and detailing. Design your personal crest, combining symbols that are meaningful to both of you. Compose a love song. Arrange for someone to sing a favorite song to you and your love when you're together. Call the radio station. Make them announce a love message for you and make sure your love is listening at the right time. Make a big sign that expresses your love and make it clear that it's from you. Buy your favorite fruits that aren't in season, like a basket of strawberries or blueberries. Hide love notes in the car, a coat, a desk, or anywhere. Place a love message in a personal section of the classified ads. Florist flowers aren't the only way to say I love you. Pluck a single flower and write a message about how its beauty reminds you of them. Prepare a surprise candlelit gourmet dinner. Write a story of growth of your relationship. Make a paperweight from a smooth stone, paint it, and put a special message on it. Stage 4 does that all the time. Last one, 21. Promise to change a habit that your love's been wanting you to change. For the last several months, we've been talking about something that has become hugely important to me because the Lord is shaping me. And we're going to continue probably until I'm blue in the face and you're sick of hearing it, talking about formation. Right now, the Lord is forming you. He's not just wanting to give you information. He wants to shape you and direct you and help you to struggle a little bit more and stop you and make you wait and frustrate you sometimes so that you get the message, so that you grow up deeper and further into Him, so you look like Him more. So we've been talking about a rule of life for a long time because that's formation. It's just a different word. But it's shaping you. God wants you to take on a new habit so that He can form you over time. So my prayer for you today, as we look in the season of love, and we're waiting, we want to see God move. We know that He's coming. We know that His love is true. We know that we've been set aside for better things. We just have to trust that we have eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to receive it, because it will be a surprise. His love for us surprises us. It shocks us. It blesses us. It's not what we're expecting, but it's richer and deeper than anything we can get from this world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this season of anticipation, and amidst the weight of oppression and amidst all the shoulds that we feel in this season, all of the whining Lord, I'm so tired of whining. If you have a problem, come up with a solution. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us those solutions, that we'd see that those solutions start with you, nothing else. Help us to let go of the things of the flesh, our own desires, our own wants, our own imaginations even, Lord, and capture us with yours. Show us how we can be a part of your kingdom call. Help us to take the gifts that we have and submit them to you so that we might experience and give away the love that you have for us each. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.